Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime. We're going to continue to talk about the power of prayer, and especially unity in prayer. We've heard the saying that those who pray together stay together, but I was reading a story about a slave owner, and he said, "Why do you and all the slaves like to get together?" And why do you like to get together and pray? Why don't you just pray individually in your own home? But you slaves are always getting together and you're always praying together. And so one of the slaves said, because when we're together, it's like the coal, the ember, the fire that keep one another hot in that fervent prayer time. And, you know, through slavery, people were going through so much, through persecution, hard-working, losing their family. Some families were torn apart. Some were beaten. And maybe in the spiritual, on the spiritual side, or maybe just in life in general, you may feel like you're being torn apart. Maybe there's a divorce or something, separation in your family, or maybe you're a pastor and there's issues going on in your church. You know, no matter what it is, maybe it's a financial issue, but God is saying, get together with those who are not going to just talk, and but that are really fervent in prayer and really want to pray, because that's how we're going to keep the embers hot and to keep things motivated and to be able to be an overcomer during this time. So we're going to get your Bibles out, if you will, and we can turn, we left off last week in Acts 2, but listen, and we read 2, 1 through 4, and Acts 1 and 14, but let's start and just recap Acts 1 and 14, and then today we'll be doing, we'll look at Acts 2, 42, 43, and 47, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 4. But, you know, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that's going to help us to be able to make it. And nothing is done in our lives except through prayer. So ask God and pray, and God, he will show you. Sometimes it may be through dreams or visions, and those are given to us so we will know how we're to pray. Or maybe it's just through his word, and God is saying, I want you to pray about this. But when we come together in prayer and in unity, it makes a difference. I know Pastor Star and I, we used to have 3 o'clock prayer, she was saying last week, we've been praying individually, but let's do our 3 o'clock. So it doesn't have to be for 5 hours. It can be for 15 minutes just to sit, talk, and say, let's pray about these issues. That can make a big difference, because in my private time, I spend on average anywhere from 3 hours, sometimes 8 hours a day. I'm constantly praying. It may not be out loud, but inwardly. I'm walking and praying, thinking and praying. I may do a prayer walk and pray. I'm in my bed, I'm praying. In my sleep, I'm praying. You know, it's, so we should always pray without ceasing, and to continue to pray and to have a prayer life and a prayer time. So let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse 42. I'm going to ask our engineer if we can put some light on the subject. All right, so we can have better lighting in here, please. So let's look at Acts 2, 42 through 43. That's Acts 2, 42 through 43. And we see here it says, they devoted themselves in the apostles' teaching, and in fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, signs, were done by the apostles. And all of the believers were together and had everything in common. So they selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to what? Meet together in the temple court. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We may wonder, wow, where's the revival? Because we need to just continue to pray. I believe that's why we're seeing so many moves in our lives. The devil doesn't like it, but we're going to keep on moving, having being effective and effective in the seven pillars. It's going to be through prayer that we come together to have that great awakening, that great revival that we're wanting to see, to come together in prayer, to see our schools. You know, right now they're walking and riding and coming together, and I'm thinking, where are the Christians? Why come we're not out there walking and standing up for what we believe? But we have to be able to, even if it's not external, but internally, come together and pray, because it's those that are standing up together and walking and crying out to whatever God that they're crying out to about their rights and what they want. You know, then what happens with our prayer in school? It's one lady who constantly, she was coming against prayer in school while the Christians just sat at home and did nothing. We have to be able to pray and make our declarations that we might have revival and that we might be saved and walk into the blessings that God has for us. Now let's turn over to Acts 4, 24. That's Acts, the fourth chapter, and verse 24. That's Acts 4 and verse 24. And I believe that we will also, we will look at verse 31 as well. And so it reads as follows. And let's just start with verse 23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to who? To God. People are walking the streets right now with their voices together and prayer to the devil, because what they're wanting to stand for is today the rioting. We want our transgender rights. We want our gay rights. But what are we doing? Are we really praying out to God that we want revival, that we want to see a move in people's lives change? No, we're not doing it like we should. We need to come together and pray together and cry out for the things that God is crying out. That's how we're going to see God's glory. That's how we're going to see his blessings. But in the body of Christ today, everybody's trying to fix everybody and trying to tell everybody what to do and how to do it in my way or the highway. But God is saying it's not about that. It's about his way. And his way is for us to come together in earnest prayer to see change, but yet we have meetings after meetings at house, and prayer meetings become gossip sessions or control meetings. God is saying, I'm not moving in that. I'm not in that. I want my spirit. I want my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come so that we can, through love, make a difference in our world, in our community, and in our homes. It's so it says here, now let's look at verse 31 as we go down. And we see it says here, have to turn over here to verse 31. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So God, he's just waiting on us. That's it. To speak that word boldly. Look how, if you want some things to shake in your life, God is just saying, I just want you just to pray. And we even look here, it says here just above, it says, and this all bears reading, it says, Jesus, whom you anointed, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servant to speak your word. God is saying in this time, let's speak his word. Let's say what God is saying. Let's do what God is doing. To speak your word, Lord. And it says, now the Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. There's a lot of threats that are going on in our lives and in your life. The devil, he has an onslaught of insults and things that he's trying to put against us to stop us. You know, maybe you're at home and you just right now you're like, well, Lord, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It's not I. It's not about you and what you want. God says, no, it's about him and what he wants. He's saying, tune in. What does God want for you? So he's saying, and as they went forth with boldness and stretched out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. God just says, speak your word. That's what he says. Enable your servant. God is waiting for us to have that great boldness so that we can walk in the things and do what God has, he has called us to do. But this was through examples of not one person praying. We're talking about corporate prayer here. You know, I'm just encouraging myself, you know, after doing this study, I'm like, let's get together with people. Let's get together and pray. The days for debating or trying to fix somebody else, God is saying, it's about praying. Let's pray and cry out, God, you know, what are you wanting? What do you want? And we see here as it goes on, it says, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was what? It was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. So I'm believing that this week. And as you tune in next week, there's going to be miraculous signs and wonders. God is going to speak. He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to speak to you and tell you and show you how, through corporate prayer, that things can change in your life. You know, we talked about some of the great men of God last week. John Wesley said, God does nothing except in answer to prayer. Everybody came against him because of he prayed and he got a revelation. Everybody wanted to do their way or the highway, but he had fresh manna, fresh rhema from God. We have to pray and live by faith. You know, I love just, sharing the testimony, how over the years God has provided, but it's all been through prayer. And some of it, the most of it, corporate prayer, praying with teams, praying with people, praying with churches. But when we come together, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to fly. We can make such a difference. We're running after the wrong thing. We need the spiritual thing. As my dad would say, this is spiritual. Those are the treasures, the spiritual treasures. We're running and exerting our energy in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. And then we wear ourselves out. We're on that treadmill, going nowhere, but trying to make it happen. People go through life. I used to have as a teenager a poster in my room, and it was called The Rat Race. And that's so many people are in that, especially in our world. They're in a rat race. But it's all about prayer, and it's all about God. So let's don't be in the rat race, you know, going around and around and around. And what have we done for Christ? That's the bottom line. People go through their lives, you know, working. But what in the end has it done for the kingdom? And God is wanting us to corporately pray. Corporately pray for kingdom things. If we're too busy to pray, we're too busy, is what one great man said. You can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. And then after that, following the instructions, following the directions that God has given you, because you're praying for the kingdom. And what did they do after they prayed? The place shook. Look how many souls got saved. That's the fruit. How many people are you touching for the gospel? Or have we sold out for the world? What are you thriving toward? And are we corporately praying to build our kingdom? Now let's look at Acts 6. And it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. So it's about increasing. The Grecian Jews, among them, they complained against the Hebrew Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said that it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose servants. Then from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit of wisdom, we will turn this responsibility over to them. And will what? Give our attention to prayer. So this is what the leaders did, the disciples. They turned it over. To the others, and they prayed. Now let's look at Acts 12, and that's Acts, the 12th chapter. So God is saying the key to what you're looking for, the key to seeing the church set on fire, the key to the growth. And as they prayed, it grew. And as those disciples, they were able to delegate their responsibilities so they could continue to pray for what? To have this or to have, no, for the kingdom of God. So Acts 12, and we look at verse 4. Let's start with 3. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, this chapter is about Peter's escape from prison. He proceeded to seize Peter also. And this happened during the feast of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by the 4 squads of 4 soldiers, each Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly what? Fighting? Gossiping? Telling people what? No, they were praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Wow. Look what can happen through prayer. Quick, get up, he said. And his chains fell off Peter's wrist, in the natural as well as in the spiritual. No matter what we're maybe going through, maybe chains of bondage or chains, or you may be bound or whatever, God can make a difference. You know, our goal right now, we're doing 30-state tour. The devil don't like it. But we're going into the schools already in 6 months, I think, since October. I think 4 months. This is our 4th month because we actually have the holidays. But we've gone into almost 5 schools, 6 schools, and 2 of those have been colleges to break the chain. Somebody has to be a voice. Everybody wants to not stand up and be scared and get in the rat race. It's time to get out and take our nation. I'm ready to go into the business arena. There's so many business people, millionaires, that are so miserable with their job. They've built these empires and hate it. They even hate themselves and treat their workers horribly because they're miserable, because they need to be building the kingdom. Let's go into the business world and shake some of these business leaders that have built these big houses that they hate to come to, and their children don't even visit them because they're either out there on drugs or alcohol, or because they've worked and put these homes before them. God is saying, let's get it in order. Let's go affect these businessmen and have business seminars to be able to minister to them. You can, or if you're working in the business arena, to touch those that are there that are so miserable. They're miserable. And they're hating themselves and hating their jobs because they have no hope. Look at the media the media is one of the most dishonest entities because it's the principality and power of the air in their reporting. They're stirring things up. I wrote to the media today and I said, let's do fair and balanced. Fair, what's fair, balanced, and true? Production. We can get people so stirred up, even with these riots. We're showing the same thing over and over and over, and it happened 2 hours ago, and people think it's still happening, and people are going out there, and they get so excited. We need to be using the airwaves for the gospel. I know I'm getting ready to take over the airwaves for the gospel. Are you ready? Are you just going to sit back? God's saying, let's do it. By how? By being a voice, not going to work for them and then succumbing to them and what they want, but being that voice and preaching the word. Let's go into the families and encourage these people that their kids don't have to be on drugs. They don't have to be on alcohol. That families can work together. People hate it. We should be sons and sons. But people don't want to have their families together. We become a society at 18 years old. We kick our children out the door. But we have to reach our families as well and let them be a part of what we're doing. Years ago, they built farms together. They built businesses together. They built families together, working together to do what God has ordained for them to do. But the enemy is fighting the family, and we have to be able to stand up for the family and be a voice. So I will say to you, get your family together. Some people don't even talk to their mom because they hate them. Is that you? God is saying, let's get together and pray with her. Maybe you don't like your dad. Get together. Maybe it's your sister. Get together. Maybe it's your pastor. Go to him and say, let's pray together. I am so excited about going to cities and saying, let's get the pastors together just to have coffee. So I'm going to say to you as we close, a family that prays together stays together, and that's how we're going to set our church on fire. Remember I opened with those slaves? The slave master said, why don't you pray in your individual home? No, when they pray together, it strengthened them to go through the persecution. So let's get together, let's pray together, and let's reach our family. Let's change our churches. Let's see revival in the business arena. Let's see revival in our family. Let's take the media back. Art, entertainment, and why don't you be a voice in the political arena? I am so stirred up, but it all starts with prayer. Let's pray. And we decree success to you and success to the kingdom. God bless you until next time.